Mrs. Ball and this.
Mm-hmm.
No, Cunningham was his name. What was his first name at all? He had fourth of his year somewhere, but he used to come with this fellow from Dublin and the forum, the volunteers at that time. It was all wooden guns that the trainers.
That would probably be before the split, like that would be Redmond's volunteers, would it? Before the.
I don't know whether they were Redmond's volunteers or not, but they were the volunteers before the trouble anyway.
Yeah, before 1916 was at all, was it?
Before 1916 at all, yeah. That went on. And there'd be bonfires on the big space there and a dance at the bridge and everything like that. All that was all the sort of entertainment you had that time. And then nearly every house had an accordion or a, not an accordion but a melodeon or a tin whistle or something like that. An ordinary fife. That was a musical instrument in every house nearly, and every house have their own entertainment to crowd together in. But when the Tans did come, then the in Rooski then we formed a Cumnamon branch. And when the Tans were there at that time, when the Cumnamon was formed, and you know, they were desperate at that time. You couldn't have a fair in any of the big towns. There was no fair allowed in Mohull or in Strokeston, and the fair used to be held in Rooski at that time. And it was packed with cattle and everything like that. So small place it was at that time, it's much bigger now, you know. But that's where the fair used to be held. And then all sorts and any sort joined Cumnamon, of course. They weren't maybe politically minded at all, but they all joined because there was such terror and everything in the Tans at the time. So we'd have meetings then in Rooski, the Cumnamon, and there was a nurse. She was, Horne was her name. She married a man named Giblin after, John Giblin. And she taught us how to, all first aid, free. There was no such thing as paying for anything at that time. And you had to know how to do everything, carry, how to carry a man if he was wounded, throw him across your shoulder and carry him and all that kind of thing. And it got hot then. It didn't get real hot until the Black and Tans come. First the soldiers were there and the police were going out, and they'd go in where we lived now. It was in a lane, like, and you had a full view of the road from one side of our house, like, and they used to go in fours. They'd be four there and four that way along the road, you know, with about this length and the pump between them, maybe. But they never came in the lane where we lived, nor another lane that was up farther. They never come in that way either. You could have anyone you wanted in it, all the fellas on the run and all that. Well, they weren't actually on the run that time, but then there was flying columns formed to the volunteers, and there'd be ones from every place in it, like, that. You'd know everybody. There would be one from this battalion and one from Drowski, one and one from Garrick, and one all in it. And they went about from the house, from house to house, to stay in our house tonight and your house tomorrow night and that kind of way. But then it began to get real hot, you see, and there was a girl, it began boycotting the police and all that kind of stuff at the time, and this girl up in Slatter, she used to go down for the paper down to Rooski. There was no papers the same as there now, one now and again, but she used to go down on the bicycle. But this policeman started going out at her, and this night anyway, she was threatened several times about bringing him out and all that, but this night anyway, he left her up at the top of the hill of Slatter, and he was kidnapped on the top of the hill is flat and brought off. And there was, oh, the place was alive then. All the people that lived along the road up Nicol Hill up that way, they all went in. Now this was now in the cold winter. They went in the lane that was opposite our house, and you could see them all setting up their tents as far over as their land went, and brought out all their Delft and everything. And Mick McCormack's house, now do you know Mick McCormack's house outside Roski? That was the first one they started to burn. Yeah, the Tans come on and set them afire, but they got it quenched before.
You're talking about Maguire's now. She's Maguire herself.
Yeah, Rosalie.
Oh, yeah, Rosalie.
Yeah, well, she wasn't there that time.
Right,
it was floods at that time.
Yeah, right.
And they were, anyone that had the name didn't have been anywhere connected with Sinn Féin at all or anything like that. They got the works. But we were all safe because we were in the lanes. They were afraid to come in the lanes, you see, that they'd be ambushed or anything like that. But Johnny Rillins is then up on the hill above, do you know where Eamon Kelly lives up there, Ballyhinline? That was burned. At the set on fire, you see, and they go off and they set it on fire, and girls and boys and all got out and up on the roof, and it was thatched roofs at that time, of course, and they got hay knives and cut off that to save so much of it, you know, so much of the bark. Then they'd go out in lorries, come with the lorries then, the British brought in the lorries, and they'd have two seats down the middle of the lorry, and they'd sit back to back, you know, and they were facing the, on all sides then, they were facing everybody, and they fired at pigs, shot them in the fields, and jump out and take the pig and bring him off with them, and geese, everything and anything, all McCormack's geese was shot at, and Patcombe boys' pigs were shot at, and brought off anything and everything. Went to the shop store, supposed to be boycotted, then nobody was to give them anything, and they'd go in behind the counter and take what they wanted, not pay for it. Bring it off with them. All that went on, and then